This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Sure, family, it's really a privilege to share the word with you this evening. Thanks to Pastor Bernie and Pastor Ross, that I can really have this honor. And I just want to start off by praying and just fixing our eyes on Jesus. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this time together, Lord. Thank you, God, that you still speak, Lord. Your heart is to speak to us tonight, Lord. Father, I just really pray for receptive hearts, Lord. That your word, Lord, would fall into good soil, Lord. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, that I get the privilege, God, of ministering your word, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're so faithful to use all of us, Lord. Father, so I just come humbly before you, God. I just yield myself to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to me, God. Thank you, Lord, that we are all a delight to you, Lord, and our first call is to be a pleasure unto you, Lord. I pray that you be glorified in this place, Lord. We're here for you, God. We declare this is all about you, Lord, and it's all through you. Be lifted up. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. God has really laid something on my heart for a long time coming, and I'm really excited to share it with you. And it's really about us giving the cause of Christ all that we have. Jesus is worthy of our everything. And I really pray that he would just come illuminate our hearts, that we would really receive that word tonight and run with it. We live in a world and a culture that is built on ownership, right? So it's about individualism, it's about us acquiring stuff, wanting to own everything, and everyone is on a mission to build their own kingdom. A culture that promotes independence from God and from one another. We all know that this culture breeds depression. It's a culture riddled with fear, frustration, contention, competition. There's jealousy, there's anger, because we're all in this rat race to get more stuff. And if you've got stuff, you want to keep what you have, right? It's about protecting what you have. And we know now, Alicia Keys, she sang the song. Now I know you guys are all going to be Christian on me, but she was talking about, some people want it all. You know, we all know that song. We all know that song. Others want diamond rings. Everyone just wants everything. And she says, if I ain't got you, baby. And I remember when I was in varsity and they said, hey, I remember in varsity, we just had a quick thing that we had to do for our youth session there. And I was like, you know what, Jesus, if it ain't you, Jesus, if it ain't you, Jesus. And that's really been my heart since. Like, God, I know some people want it all. Some people want diamond rings. Some people want everything, but everything means nothing if I haven't got you, Jesus. And it's my desire that we would all get to that place. And those of us who are already there, that you would hunger for more of that place. People are stealing and fighting and killing each other because they want what they cannot have. Those who do have are withholding and hoarding for the fear of losing that which they have. Everything is leading to lack. It's leading to death, literally. But I know that the kingdom of God offers us a different culture. The kingdom of God offers us something that is different to this world. Amen. The kingdom mindset is completely different. It's reversed. It's called the upside down kingdom. It's a kingdom built on the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's a kingdom built on stewardship and interdependence on God and interdependence on each other. It's a kingdom that leads us to peace, to content, like contentment, like Christelle said, whether we have much or little, there's contentment. It leads to joy, to prosperity, to access. It's a life of generosity, a life of giving. The Word of God tells us that the world belongs to God. The world belongs to God. The whole earth is the Lord's and everything in it and everyone who lives in it. And being part of this kingdom means that we own nothing. Hello? Nada. We do not own anything. God is the owner. And we, as the children of God, get to steward all that He has given to us. In the beginning, so God, in His wisdom, made man in His image, right? He delegated His authority to us and put us in charge over creation. He commands us to rule and reign, have dominion, and steward the earth on His behalf. But Adam and Eve choose disobedience. We moved from that safe space of relationship with God. We moved from that safe space of community with one another. We moved from that place of stewarding what belongs to God on His behalf to wanting to own everything, wanting to be the most powerful, wanting to satisfy our own flesh, wanting to live for ourselves. It all became about us, about me, myself, and I. Our very nature changed, guys. Our nature became corrupted. And instead of generosity, we became filled with greed. We were filled with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Instead of stewardship, we became so filled with this nasty spirit of ownership and independence. But God sent us Jesus, guys. He sent us a Savior to reconcile us to Himself and to one another. He redeemed us from the curse of sin. Jesus restored us back into the image of God. Jesus served us with His very life, even to the point of dying on a cross. And He continues to restore us. Until the day of His coming back, He continues to sanctify us and help us to walk in our new nature that He purchased for us with His blood. So this morning, I want to talk to you guys about something that I believe is key to our identity as sons and daughters. Something that I believe is critical for the times that we are living in. I want to talk about living generously. Giving everything that we've got for the cause of Christ. Generosity is a mark of a Christian, right? It's one of the marks of a Christian. We're designed to live generously. As children of God, we're made in His image. Generosity is in our DNA because we're made in His image. We're made in the image of Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. It's in our nature to give because it's in His. For God so loved He the world that He gave as his one and only begotten Son, that we may not perish, that we would have eternal life. And even when Jesus left, he said, you know, guys, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm leaving you guys with a helper. Even then, he says, I'm leaving you with peace. The word commands us to give. Freely we have received, so we freely give. It is more blessed it is to give than it is to receive. There's a joy that comes with giving. There's a joy that comes with giving what we have, and that comes with giving of ourselves as a child of God, because that's how we've been made. We're commanded to give generously. We do as God does as children of God. We say as he says. And the thing is, guys, you know, as I was preparing, God showed me that this thing about giving and living generously is not just a biblical principle. It's an identity thing. Living generously with your life and serving God and serving his purposes here on the earth is not only a biblical principle. It is an identity thing. If we are not walking generously with our time, with our gifts, with our money, with our possessions, we are not walking in the fullness of that which God has paid for. We need to trust God to help us to walk in that fullness as a son and a daughter. And if you've been on this journey, we need to trust God for more. We need to trust him to help us to lay our lives down as he laid down his very life for us. Generosity is not for God's sake, guys. Living generously is not about God and him being full of himself. He owns everything. He owns all the beasts in the world. He's the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our stuff. But it's for our good that we give. When God started to talk to me about living generously, he showed me, Seagull, it's for your good that you give. Because in that, like Christelle said, I teach you how to trust me. When you begin to live generously, I protect you from greed. I protect you from wanting to live a selfish life. We are designed to live generously for his purposes. For his purposes. It's not about how good it makes us feel when I rock up at church at 7 a.m. preparing for worship. It's not about how good it makes me feel when I serve people coffee or I go to intercession every Tuesday. It's about his purposes. I'm going to quickly turn to Exodus, the book of Exodus. 35. The Lord really blew my mind when he showed me just the truth of this scripture. I'm going to go to verse 4. So here Moses is building the tabernacle. God has instructed him to build it. And in verse 4 it says, then Moses, those of you who get saturated very quickly by the word, we're trusting for grace. Right now, it's going to be a long one. So then Moses said to the community of Israel, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord and let those with generous hearts present the following gifts. And he begins to list the gifts: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread. He goes on: olive oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil. We move on. And he says in verse 10, guys, listen up. Come, all you who are gifted craftsmen, construct everything that the Lord has commanded. Come on. So it's not just things that we are bringing. We are bringing our gifts to God's house. Amen. He goes on to say, you know, I bring just, just accessories, lamp cups, olive oil. The list is endless. I want to get to verse 20, where the word says that, so the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. All whose hearts were stirred, all whose spirits were moved, they came and they brought sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of rituals, and for the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. They brought to the Lord their offerings of gold, brooches, earrings, rings from their fingers, guys, and necklaces. They presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering to the Lord. The verse goes on, and in verse 25, it says again, all the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared the blue, purple, and scarlet thread. People brought their gifts. People brought what they had. Goes on to say, verse 30, then Moses told the people of Israel that the Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. I just want to stop here for a minute, guys. The anointing is for all of us. The anointing is not just for the prophet or the preacher or the pastor. The anointing is for all of us. When you go to work in the morning, you wake up knowing that you have been anointed to do what you are doing. Amen. The anointing is for all of us. The fivefold ministry is called to equip the saints so that they can go to the respective places of influence to prophesy, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. The anointing is for all of us. And we go on there to chapter 36. Again, the Lord has gifted Bezalel, Oholiab, and other skilled craftsmen with wisdom and ability to perform any task involved in the building of the sanctuary. We go on there to verse 3 in chapter 36. Moses gave them the materials donated by the people of Israel as sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. But the people continued to bring additional gifts each morning. Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work. They went to Moses and reported, "The people have given more than enough materials to complete the job that the Lord has commanded us to do." How amazing is that? People brought more than enough for the work that God wanted to do in their day. Moses said, okay, enough, guys. He even says that, another translation says, no man or woman should bring anything else as an offering to the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing more. How amazing is that? When we bring everything that we've got for the cause of Christ, that is our God. That is our God. When he moves, the hearts of his people, the hearts of his church, to give of themselves for the purposes of his kingdom, not our kingdom. God is on the move, guys. Things are happening on the earth, but God is on the move. I was at a conference in July last year, and people were sharing just about what the Lord is doing across the earth, what he's doing all over the world, all the amazing testimonies of how the Holy Spirit is moving in the earth today. And God said to me, Siko, I am restoring generosity to my people. I am restoring generosity. I really began to pray through this, and even one of the sessions that I attended for intercession, I think Bernie was praying it as well, around intercession, around generosity. And God is on the move. I know it's hard to give, guys. It's hard to give of ourselves. It's hard to give of our time. It's a constant struggle between our old nature that is dead and our new nature. It's a constant struggle. That desire to serve, want to serve ourselves instead of serve the purposes of God. Because we feel like we never have enough. We feel like we never have enough time for ourselves, enough money for ourselves and our families. Then there's this whole thing of instant gratification. Come on, somebody, be honest. The lack of self-control. We're not even tapping into that just yet. Right? I know even in terms of finances, we've become skeptical as the church. Because we've seen so many churches around us misuse that which we sow for the purposes of the kingdom. So many churches are misusing and not using their finances with integrity. I'm even creating new words here, hallelujah. Right? We can't trust some of the churches out there. In fact, the minister even shared now with his budget speech how that SARS is now going to be clamping down on religious tax. Come on, somebody. We need to know that we have died with Christ and we've been resurrected to new life and we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, i.e. we've got perspective. We can see the enemy coming from a mile away. Come on, somebody. We cannot afford to not see the tactics of the enemy. We, when we hold back, when we withhold and do not give, we are working against our new nature. We are working against our new nature. When we trust in Jesus, he gives us a new nature and he gives us his Holy Spirit and he's working out a new nature in us. But when we withhold, we're not just withholding from people. We're withholding from God. We make it too easy for the devil to lead us away from the purposes of God. Yes, giving is voluntary. Giving is voluntary. But we need to choose. We need to choose to give. The enemy's plan is not just to cause you to withhold your gifts or your talents or your money. No, his plans are much bigger than that. He desires to actually keep you from walking in the fullness of your identity as a son and daughter. He wants to keep you from looking more like Christ. His plan is actually to thwart the plans and the purposes of God in and through our lives. So we know that when we are not giving of ourselves and we are not giving what God has graciously given to us, the church body is walking with a limp. But the word of God again says we have died and been raised to new life. We have the mind of Christ. We set our mind on what the Spirit desires and not what the flesh desires. We set our minds on the things of above and not the things of here below. We work and work towards treasures that are stored in heaven and things that are not stored here on earth, where moth and rust and dust destroy. In all of this, guys, I believe God is releasing a word over us. We need to step into generosity with our gifts, our talents, our time, our money. Generosity with the gospel like never before. It's going to be important now more than ever. If we turn to the book of Acts, just quickly going to go there. Acts chapter 2, there's bits in chapter 3 and chapter 4, but I'll go through it now. But what I found as I was preparing for this message is that when God is about to do some major advancing for his kingdom, one of the first things that he restores in the life of the church is generosity and community. Giving and sharing of time, gifts, and positions. We read there in chapter 2, verse 43. So now that the new believers, the believers formed a community, and the word says that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. They met and worshipped in their homes. And at the temple each day, they met in their homes for the Lord's Supper and shared meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added. As people were sharing, as people were giving of themselves and giving what they have, God was busy adding to the church. In chapter 4, says that all the believers were united in heart and mind. And they felt that what they owned was not their own. Guys, we're going back to the beginning. What they had was not their own. So they shared everything they had. As I'm just really meditating on this, I really get a sense, you know, that really when God is about to move and build something new in the times, I believe he awakens heart towards generosity and community and compassion. He mobilizes people to give all of who they are and all of what they have for the cause of Christ. Because the church needs to facilitate the building of the kingdom. It's more than just money, guys. It's so much more than just money. I love it when I read there in chapter 3 again, their Acts, where Peter and John were walking past the temple, and this beggar, crippled beggar, is asking them for money. And yeah, busy trying to negotiate something there. And Peter's like, I don't have any silver or gold for you. But what I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Peter gave what he had. It's not about money. And my favorite example as well is really about watching Jesus and how he lived his life, guys. He gave everything for us. He didn't withhold anything from us. He lived generously with his life, giving freely of his time and of his gifts, serving people with his skills, praying for the sick, teaching and preaching the word, ministering to the poor and to the weak, delivering the demon-possessed. He served us with his very life. And I really believe that we are in a time where we are being called to give it our all. We are in the times of the end harvest, guys. We have the privilege of partnering with Christ, like Christelle says. We have the privilege of laying down our lives for Christ. But are we willing? Are we willing? We know as a local congregation that we've been receiving words about restoration. That we are those who are part of the double portion generation. We are growing. At this point, we are investing our time and our efforts in growing. But it's not for our sakes. It's to become more like Christ. And beyond that, it is for the benefit of others. We need to be generous with our time, guys. Our skills, our talents. Both in and outside of the church. We need to be willing to use everything that God has given us to serve the house of God and to serve his people. So that the church has the capacity for what God is about to do. There's a whole world out there. There's a lost and a dying world that needs to hear the gospel. People need to be sent out. And if people aren't being sent out, thank you, Phil. People aren't being sent out. You need to go. We need to reprioritize our lives so that we ourselves can go even. Go to Delft. Go to Urban. Go to the ends of the earth. There are millions of unreached people waiting to hear the good news. Our workplaces are filled with people who need to hear the good news. People who need to experience the love of Christ. People who need to see with their own eyes in a practical sense the kingdom being made manifest. We have the privilege of partnering with God in that. It's a critical time for the church. Thank you, Phil. It's a critical time in the world. We cannot afford to bury our gifts and our skills. We cannot afford to hoard and misuse and be stingy with our money and our time, guys. We cannot afford to not use what God has given us. We cannot afford to build our own kingdoms. We cannot afford to serve our own selves. We cannot afford to be passive and to be complacent. We cannot afford to keep Christ to ourselves, guys. We cannot afford to keep Christ to ourselves. Christ, the hope of glory, living in you, the fullness of the Godhead, living in you. We cannot afford to keep him to ourselves, guys. God has given us as his body a diversity of gifts that we need to use in unity for his purposes, that we would see his kingdom established here on the earth. We need to be generous with the word of God. We need to be generous with prayer, guys, with intercession. Intercession is not for the group that is like highly skilled in interceding. Intercession is for the whole church, like Suzal Hatting says. We need to be generous with prophecy. When you go to your workplace, you prophesy over your workplace and over the people in your workplace. We need to be generous with serving. Guys, some of us are called to lead. Some of us are called to entrepreneurial spaces. We need to be very generous about that which God has given us. The teachers need to teach, guys. Words of knowledge need to flow. We need to be generous with Christ in and outside of the church. Whatever you have, you bring it. The time is now, guys. The times are urgent. There is an urgency. And we need to give it all we've got. We need to start putting our money where our mouths are. We need to start putting our time where our mouths are. We need to start putting our resources and our skills where our mouths are. What are you investing in? If I look at your time, how you spend it, if I look at your money, if I look at where you're using your skills, will I be able to tell that this is a son or a daughter of the Most High God? Will I be able to tell that this one is about the Father's business? That this one is about the kingdom's agenda? Or does everything about us look like everyone else in the world? Because, guys, if we are investing in ourselves, if you are investing in yourself, can I tell you, it's a bad investment. I don't know. Matt, I almost flunked it, but I can tell you, it's a bad investment. God's vision for your life is so much bigger than what you have for yourself. Can I tell you something? God's plan for your money and your time and your skills are so much bigger than that which you have for yourself. Can I tell you something? Guys, there's an entire world at stake. Are we going to be generous with what God has given us? Are we going to be generous when it matters most? Or are we going to keep things to ourselves? We are living sacrifices. In Romans 12:1, the Passion Translation says, "Beloved friends, what should our proper response to God's marvelous mercies be? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship." We need to stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of culture around us that tells us that it's all about ourselves. But we need to be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through total reformation of how we think. Because this will empower us to discern what God's will is as we live a beautiful and satisfying and perfect life in His eyes. Guys, this is not something we manufacture in our own strength. And I really believe that there's a grace in this season for us to give the cause of Christ our all. But we need to decide right here today that we're going to give Him all we've got. Someone needs to make up their minds here today that they're going to give God all they've got. We don't have forever. Our lives are but vapor. We do not know what tomorrow holds. So we need to be a people that gives all we've got every day. For our family's sake, guys. Half of my family is not saved. So for our family's sake, we need to give it all we've got. For the church's sake in this time, we need to give it all we've got. For our nation's sake, for the sake of the world, guys, we need to give it our all. I really believe that God is getting ready to do a work in this day that we have not even begun to tap into or dream of. We need to pour out everything. We need to be determined to live our lives fully and sold out for God. I was thinking about this and I was like, God, I want a legacy that is eternal. I want a kingdom legacy. And I was thinking, God, if when I'm at the end of my life like Paul was, and he was able to say, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. Pouring it all out for His sake, guys, because when we begin to pour out our everything for God and for His purposes, He begins to pour Himself into us. Amen. Like never before. As we pour out, He fills us. He fills us to be able to accomplish all that which He has called us. He has prepared works for each and every one of us, even before the foundations of the earth. We need to pour out everything. Pour yourself out. God is faithful to pour Himself into us. And the possibilities are limitless. Come on, somebody. The possibilities are limitless. But it will cost us everything. It will cost us everything, giving our all for Christ. It will cost us our very lives, others even to death. But there's nothing, nothing compared with the joy of knowing Him. Nothing compared with the joy of being in His will. God can't use our lives, guys, if we hold on to them. We need to let go. We need to give our entire lives. God wants our gifts, our time, our love, our affection, our adoration, our total devotion. And watch Him multiply what is in your hands. Watch him use that which you give him. We need to let go of our desires. Trust God to give us new desires. Align us with his. Let go of our plans. God, please interrupt our plans with your purposes. We need to let go of our dreams and trust him to give us new dreams. And I got so excited when the worship team was ministering about just awaking our souls, because God is on the move and he is in the process of awakening dreams and passions and skills and desires and ... for the purposes of this kingdom, so that we are able to serve our generation well. David was like, you know what, guys, I can go now because I have served God's purposes for my life in my generation. When I started to dream about God's kingdom coming, his rule and his reign coming in and through my life, guys, everything changed. When I started to dream and have his desires, when I started to dream about a church that is effective for Christ, when I started to dream about the lost getting saved, everything changed. My priorities changed. In my own life, it started with my time. I remember I was in my honors year, and I was like, yes, Jesus, distinction, I'm coming for you. And I remember God saying, Siko, I want your time. I was like, Jesus, I've got one shot at this. I was very performance driven at that. I've got one shot at this. And God was like, Siko, I want your time. I remember walking in that year, and I was just giving my all to Jesus. So much I was even at every, what do you call it, these jam sessions. I mean, that's not like the highest thing in the priority of things. But I was like, Jesus, where you are, I want to meet with you. Where people are worshiping, I just want to be where you are. Everything came secondary to me just spending time with the Lord and being with people that are just in his presence. I was just wanting to soak myself. Even my studies came secondary. And blink, blink, I looked at the end of that year and I had a distinction and I needed someone to explain to me how. Really. But that's Jesus. When you commit your life for his purposes, all things are possible. And then he moved on to relationships. Oh my goodness. Unhealthy relationships. I'm like, Jesus. Now I was like dating this guy. I'm like, Jesus, do you know the plans that I have for us? Plans to prosper us and to give us a hope and a future. And she's like, no, my girl. Like, you don't have any plans for you and this guy. Like, you guys aren't going nowhere. And I had to really like sacrifice this whole thing. I was like, I had made all the plans. And slowly but surely, like, God began to just really carve away at unhealthy relationships in my life. And I had to say to some friends, I love you guys, but in this season, I think you're influencing me more than I'm influencing you. I had to give that up. My priorities changed, guys. Because I started to see as God sees. I started to desire what he desires. And then I came to Cape Town and I was like, yes, now I'm going to work. And I'm going to get a nice place for myself so that my family can come visit and see. Yay, she's made it. Then Jesus calls me into community. I'm like, Jesus, this is not what I had in mind. I had a different plans and something slightly more, you know? I mean, I worked all these years, Jesus, like, really? And God is like, see, I'm calling you into community. And as I walked in that community, guys, my life started to change. As I started to see people walking generously with their lives. No one had to tell me anything about money. After a while, I saw, hey, these shopping bags every weekend. So you go, hey, you are seeing a good example here. Clearly, something's not right with you. And God started dealing with me around that. I started seeing how Christelle was serving with her time and serving with, like, guys, can I tell you? She's not just saying what she's saying because she just has a platform to say it. Christelle lives generosity. She is one of the most generous people I know. We need to put our money where our mouth is, guys. I started seeing people serve the Lord in their finances. The way I used my finances started to change. Seeing people walk out and laying down their lives for the cause of Christ. And guys, these are just practical examples, and I'm not giving you these examples because I want to elevate myself. It's been humbling. It's been humbling, and I'm telling you, God is dealing with me even now about yielding more. There's some stuff that He's calling me to yield and give, and I'm working it out with the Lord. No one has made it, guys. We are all working out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's always more yielding. There's always more to surrender. So God tells me the one day I'm working, and God's like, Zico, change your car. That can't be you, Jesus. I think Christelle taught me wrong how to hear your voice. So Christelle used to help me practice. She's like, Siko, just wake up in the morning, ask God, what must I wear today, Jesus? And I would get dressed, and just as I'm stepping out, then she's like, Nana, I'm like, could you have just told me just before I went through all the effort? Or I would like travel driving down, and she's like, just ask him which direction to take, guys. I need to stop here. It's intimacy. We give from a place of intimacy. God stirs and moves our hearts as we saw in the Word. But that happens as we spend time in the secret place. Because in the secret place, that's where God stretches our capacity. And then the fruit starts to flow. We start to see ourselves walk in authority. We start to see ourselves walk in the fullness of God because we are spending time in the secret place. Because we are pouring ourselves into Him first. Otherwise, it's all dead works, guys. If we're running around doing all these things and it's not from a place of intimacy, it's dead works. Anyway, God tells me, Seagull, you need to change your car. And I'm like, So I've never had dreams about cars, eh? So when I was in varsity, I just saw this girl drive a car down the street. It's like, that one, Jesus. That's all. I was like, I want that car. So when I got my first job, I went to the car dealership. I said, I want that one. So I just said, wait a second. I just need to just make sure my feet reach the pedals. Okay, I was like, I'll take it. So that's always just been my heart, just that car. It was nothing fancy, whatever. And I just remember the Lord saying, Siko, you need to trade that car in. And just as I did that, guys, because why did I do that? Because when you begin to dream God's dreams, your priorities changed. I had more money for missions. I could actually start to give and start to do the tithing and offering properly. Some things had to change because I was aligning myself with the purposes of God for my life. We need to lay things down, guys. And it's not easy. But I have no regrets. I have no regrets. In fact, I'm thankful. And I know that the more I lay down, the more I learn to trust Jesus. The more I laid things down, the more, the less this world has a power over me. I'm sharing this because I love you guys. I want to see all of us, including myself, walk in the fullness of that which God has called us to walk in. I love the bride of Christ and I long to see her walk in purity. Instead of collecting and collecting, but giving, giving, giving. Walking in our identity. We need all hands on deck. I long to see us grow more like Christ. But as I draw this to an end, I just want us to ask ourselves, how hungry are we? How hungry are we to see the kingdom of God come in and through our lives? How hungry are we to see His will done here on earth? And are we willing to give it our all? Are we willing to live generously with everything that we have for the cause of Christ? There's a lot that we can be focused on. Our own lack. Some of us are fickle. When things are going well, we're like, yay, Jesus, let your kingdom come. When things aren't going great, you know, we're sort of like, okay, we're not sure, Lord, just can you help me to survive? But I really believe God wants to do things in and through us and birth things in and through us for His glory and for His purposes in this generation. So Lord, I just want to thank you, God. I just want to thank you for every gift that is sitting here in this room. Thank you, Lord, that we are gifts, Lord, to your church and to the world, Lord. Thank you for all that you have placed in us, Lord. Not to build our kingdoms, God, but for your purposes, Lord. Thank you for grace, God. And a willingness, Lord, for us to surrender, God. To give you our everything. To grow as we go. Thank you that we do not need to strive and perform and reach perfection. But we rely on you, Holy Spirit, and we grow as we go. Holy Spirit, I pray that you show us, Lord, in our quiet times, Lord, how our lives need to shift, God, for the sake of your kingdom, God. Lord, let your kingdom come in and through us, Lord. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.